a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Genevieve.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM at 1160 AM.
We have new details this morning in the very twisted case of baby selling going on right here in Utah. The elected official from Arizona accused of running it had almost $3 million flow into an adoption account, according to the Utah Attorney General's office. He had a home in Salt Lake County. Dave, as many as 15 pregnant women from the Marshall Islands slept on mattresses on the floor, and they referred to him as, quote unquote, the boss.
Yeah, if your nickname is the boss, that's super shady. That right there probably should get you arrested. But his name is Paul Peterson. He's a Maricopa County assessor. He's an adoption attorney. He actually is an adoption attorney in Utah, Arizona, and Arkansas. In Arizona, he's accused of illegally placing 29 babies up for adoption. In Utah, 40 pregnant women, bringing them here to the state.
The Attorney General's office here in the state of Utah spearheaded the case here in Utah. There were cases going on simultaneously in Arizona and Arkansas. I want to get Attorney General Sean Reyes on the line with us to bring us an update. Good morning, Attorney General Reyes.
Good morning, Debbie. Dave, how are you?
We're good, but this is a crazy, crazy case, and we want to get some more questions in this morning. I know you've been publicly making statements and comments about it over the last 24 hours. So are there any more pregnant moms here from the Marshall Islands who are due, perhaps, who are still here in Utah? And if so, what will happen to them and the babies?
There are. And there are also our tip line, our resource helpline for victims. Those conversations have revealed to us that there are other potential victims right now. But there were or are women who were waiting to give birth. At least I can tell you this. He's not going to be recruiting any new ones. That's the good news. But as you allude to, it's going to be a little more complicated for the adoptions that are in process right now. Clearly, the ones that have already taken place, and I want to be clear about that, Debbie, did not cause unneeded fear for those families that have adopted already. Those adoptions, we have no intention of trying to unwind those. We don't even have the jurisdiction to do that. But we have not heard from any of the birth mothers from adoptions that have been completed that that we're aware of that are going to try to challenge parental rights and assert their rights as birth parents. The ones that are in process will. Where we're consulting with agencies to determine the best interest of the child in those cases and make sure that if the birth mothers want to proceed, that they're doing it with full knowledge of what's going on. And that's part of the problem in this is that they don't have the Marshallese culture, like a lot of Pacific Island cultures, is much different in terms of the legal concept of parental rights. So sorry for the long answer, but that's that is a complicated challenge that we're facing right now.
From what you said, it sounded like the mothers that were being brought here were brought in various stages of pregnancy, some months away from delivering, others weeks and perhaps days. Is that still the case? Do we have mothers that are on just days away from delivering a child?
That's accurate, Dave. I mean, without getting into all of the details and to, you know, again, try to guard some of the privacy of that.
Right.
There are women in various stages of pregnancy who were induced into this scheme, not a good word, but who were tricked into coming here in violation of the treaty that the United States has with the Republic of the Marshall Islands, because there are legal ways to do this pursuant to this treaty or compact, which was put in place precisely to avoid these types of situations, preying on the difference between cultural expectations in the Marshall Islands, an expectation that the child would come back to them sometime, and that's why we've charged under that count, the smuggling count, because it's a very clear-cut violation of the law. And it's right now we're dealing with victims who are the birth mothers, those who are who've already given birth, and those who are in the process. Or who are expecting soon, and then they're the children themselves, and of course the adoptive families. None of them are targets of our investigation. We're not investigating any of them for criminal conduct. We believe that they were all done in good faith, and that they provided good homes for these children. But we have three different groups of victims here.
Attorney General Sean Reyes on the line with us, and we just have about 30 seconds left. AG Reyes, what really gives me hope here is that in Arizona, authorities were tipped off by a friend of a state investigator who went to Paul Peterson's law office for adoption services and said something wasn't right. So they tipped him off and they started their investigation. But you had Utah hospital workers here who actually contacted your human trafficking hotline, which I think there's probably a lot of listeners right now who had no idea you have a human trafficking hotline at the Attorney General's office.
That's correct, Debbie. Human trafficking hotline locally and the Polaris National Hotline. We had simultaneous reports. We contacted Arizona. As a result, they opened their investigation, and they started to receive tips as well. And I just want to emphasize that with the limited time we have left. If you see something, say something. If I always say, if your spidey sense goes off, there's a reason. Report it to law enforcement. You know well, Debbie, with your experience in law enforcement, we would rather investigate 10 cases and find that it was not exactly what people had in mind. But we don't want to miss that one case like this one, where a good citizen comes forward and helps us stop a horrific crime like this. And so please, anyone who sees something, it might not be what you think it is, but it could be even worse. And for all the citizens out there, this wouldn't have happened without brave people calling in and without these brave victims coming forward and being willing to cooperate with us.
Attorney General, thank you so much for joining us. I don't envy your job right now. There's so many people involved, so many victims, as you said, and just heartbreaking stories all around. But thank you so much for joining us, and we will continue, obviously, to follow this story every step of the way.
Another huge story this week, Utah's first vaping-related death. Doctors say the man had been vaping THC. So we're going to get drug cops on the line with us live next and ask, where are folks in Utah buying these killer cartridges?
Dave and Dujanovic. Are you asking for Dave and Debbie everywhere?
Just say, Alexa, play KSL News Radio.
And stream them on your phone. The KSL News Radio app. Dave and Dujanovic.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It all began with two tips that were called into the Utah Attorney General's office that launched an illegal baby-selling investigation. Huge story, Dave.
Yeah, first, it was an LDS hospital worker suspected something wasn't right about an adoption and tipped cops.
Yeah, and then the other tip was notifying the AG's office of a suspicious birth at the University of Utah Hospital. And then this week, the takedown of that prominent Arizona politician, Dave.
Yeah, an adoption attorney. His name is Paul Peterson, and he was running this illegal adoption operation, bringing women from the Marshall Islands. Now, the Marshall Islands are in between Hawaii and Australia. He was bringing these women in various stages of pregnancy, some days away from delivering to weeks and months, brought them to Utah and would adopt out their babies.
Now, if you're just joining us, you missed our live interview with Attorney General Sean Reyes here just about 30 minutes ago. And we asked him, because there's 40 women who they allege were brought to Utah and housed, almost want to say warehoused, in a home on the west side for sometimes many, many months. But we asked I specifically asked him about this. If there's still women from the Marshall Islands here in Utah who are pregnant, what happens to the babies? And here's what he told us during that live interview.
The resource helpline for victims, those conversations have revealed to us that there are other potential victims right now. But there were or are women who were waiting to give birth. At least I can tell you this. He's not going to be recruiting any new ones. That's the good news. But as you allude to, it's going to be a little more complicated for the adoptions that are in process right now.
Yes. And my understanding was that they're going to try to work out some sort of agreement that if these adoptive parents will still want the baby and the birth mother wants to give up the baby, they're going to try to work something out. The problem with this whole thing has been there's a language barrier, and the birth mothers don't fully understand the implication of what is happening. And Mr. Peterson apparently used his own translator whenever he was dealing with the adoptive parents and the birth mother, and it sounds like a lot was lost in translation, probably on purpose.
This has become such a huge story. It involves three different states, Utah, Arizona, and Arkansas, where he has now been criminally charged, that Dave and I decided to take a good chunk of the next 20 minutes and talk more in depth about this. There's so much emotional attachment on the part of the birth mother, but also adoptive families. Mm. That we felt like it was very important in the next segment to talk to a well-respected adoption attorney about things to look out for, questions to ask, and how much should you really be paying. We're going to hear first in this segment from families who tried to adopt through Peterson.
Yes. Angie Lundquist, she talked to KSL Television yesterday, and they were all set to adopt through Peterson's firm, but the birth mom seemed to have a different understanding of what was happening.
And that's when it came out. She says, well, am I going to get the baby back at 18?
She didn't understand what she was signing up for, because she had all these questions. Will I get the baby back? Will the baby take my name? And that's when we knew there was something definitely going on.
And here's how Angie described it to KSL Television when I watched their story. I wept for her because she was so thrilled to be able to adopt this newborn child. And then she had to give the child back. And they took the baby back to their attorney's office. And she said she just fell in his arms. And he was the only thing between her and the floor. I think they eventually got their money back. But their experience with Peterson was horrific. It's just heartbreaking.
And this is another side of it that is heartbreaking, is they knew people that had a positive experience with Peterson. So this wasn't a family that hadn't done their due diligence. They researched, they found out, they talked to other families who had a positive experience. The only way you get this to become a multi-year, multiple family issue is when it is successful on some level, when there are people that can vouch for it. That's what makes it so insidious, is that it was a positive experience for many.
But we now know this was all done, according to the charging documents, very illegally on the part of Mr. Peterson, as he's been accused of running an illegal baby selling operation in three different states. I want to talk to the attorney we're going to get on the line, who's an expert in adoption, in the next segment about this. How much should families be paying for an adoption? Let me give you some details that I read up on Peterson about. He would charge families $25,000 up front, and then $10,000 after delivery of the baby. Now, I don't know if that's how it works, but I want to ask somebody who knows if that's how it should work. That's a lot of money. And it's also clear that Peterson had plenty of clients, Dave, because cops say there was $2.7 million that flowed into his bank account over 3 years that was connected to the operation. So there's a ton of families looking to adopt through him.
Well, and imagine at $35,000 a pop, you get up to $2.5 million or $3 million. How many women have had this happen to them? And when we talked to the Attorney General, Sean Reyes, a little earlier, he said what makes this unique and so devastating is look at how many people have been victimized. You're talking about the birth mother that doesn't fully understand what's going on in some cases, the child itself, obviously, and then the adoptive parents who have put their heart and their money and their hopes and dreams on the line to have it ripped away.
And when you talk about the Marshallese Islands or the Marshall Islands and those Marshallese women, they really did not understand fully. According to everything I've seen, what was going on, what was happening to them. And in some regards, it was almost perhaps seen as a way to earn money to take care of themselves and their families back in the Marshall Islands, because $10,000 would go a very long way. But also you said something to me before the show that maybe perhaps it was seen as an honor.
Yeah, there's a cultural thing, from what I understand, and this is what we heard from the prospective adoptive parents and the Attorney General. Perhaps the parents and the birth parents saw this more as a ward situation where you would send your child away to be raised in America. You'd have the education and the health, but eventually that they would return to the Marshall Islands and return to the family.
In fact, Attorney General Sean Reyes spoke about that yesterday during his news conference announcing the multiple charges against Paul Peterson.
Those that we interviewed felt like their children could grow up being healthy and strong here in the United States with the understanding. I believe that the understanding of many of them was the children would come back. They were still part of their family, but this was similar to other kind of manifestations of this broader family approach. And knowing that, understanding that, exploiting that.
And that's where you see, especially when there's a language barrier involved, where someone that understands the culture, which it sounds like Mr. Peterson knew very well. He had served a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the Marshall Islands. So he understood the culture, he understood the law, and he was able to manipulate this to his gain of millions.
Next, I want to get the adoption attorney, the real expert on the line, to give us insight on how we can spot legitimate adoptions, and what questions to ask, how much adoptions really cost, and so many other questions. Next.
Dave and Dujanovic. Later today, Jeff Kaplan reports on the news.
An overnight rescue mission on the Great Salt Lake.
And he talks about the news.
Tragedy was averted in the dead of night.
3 to 7 on KSL News Radio. Dave and Dujanovic.
We've been talking for the last couple of days about this alleged illegal adoption scheme. The person at the helm of it, called the boss, according to court records, is in custody, was arrested on multiple counts. But Dave, I think the one thing that really deeply bothered me in the court records was this. There were adoptive parents who say they actually visited the Salt Lake County home where the birth moms were being housed. And they saw 15 birth moms sleeping on mattresses on the floors, running, quote, what they called a baby mill, according to these parents that were going to adopt one of these kids. And I wondered if their parents in this position are so emotionally blinded by getting a baby that they perhaps dismiss what they saw inside that home.
That's a great question, Debbie. I think it's a very fair question. I think looking at this story from the eyes of the adoptive parents is important to find out what they were going through, because, of course, it sounds like the birth mothers were being preyed upon, enticed, promised. If you come to the States, you'll be able to give your baby a better life. You're going to walk away with huge money. $10,000 is huge money, apparently, in the Marshall Islands. But these are some of the things that we need to discuss. What's going on with the adoptive parents? How much does it cost? And what are their rights?
Let's get Derek Williams back on the line with us. He was he jumped on the line with us yesterday as the story was unfolding. He's with Snow Christensen and Martineau here in the Salt Lake City area. Thanks so much for being on the show with us again today, Mr. Williams.
Hi, you're welcome. It's nice to talk to you.
A lot of families were taken by this guy, according to authorities. And I don't know if you heard what I said in the opening of the segment, which was my concern is that families get so emotionally attached to the thought that they're going to be able to adopt and hold a brand new, beautiful baby that they were blinded when they at least one couple walked inside this home and said they saw 15, you know, birth moms lying on the floor on mattresses. What do you think about that situation when it comes to adoptive families and their emotional attachment?
Well, you're starting off out of the gate with one of the hardest questions, and for me personally too, I'll just tell you, my wife and I couldn't have kids, and that's one reason I do adoption law is we built our family on adoption. We adopted our two kids, one's 16 and one's 12, and we have two beautiful birth mothers that we couldn't have a family without adoption. And so it's very personal, and you're right, it is emotional. These couples sometimes wait years and years, and they just want to have a family. And I think to the specific question you made about going into the house and seeing that, I'm sure that family was disgusted and heartbroken. I think I read that they were, and they described it that way to the investigators. And the question is, what should be done with this child if they're going to go forward and do this adoption? Can the family provide that child with a good home and a good environment? And we can tackle all the bigger issues of the human trafficking, and I'm so grateful the Attorney General's office and the states are doing that through this prosecution. But you are raising great points about the perspective of the other side and the adoptive families who desperately want to have a family themselves.
So I've got so many questions. I'll try to narrow them down a little bit, but I want to talk about these adoptions and private adoptions. Can you walk us through the experience a little bit? Can they meet the mother, how they financially care for them? And walk us through a little bit about that the from the point of view of the adoptive parents.
Yeah, of course, and I'll be trying to be as succinct as I can. It's a long, complicated process, but they start, number one, with the goal of finding a match. They need to be matched with a birth mother, and that can be done through the help of an agency. It can be done through, as we may talk about later, online and social media and private marketing of their profiles and their family. But they need to find a match, and that's often really difficult and contributes to the high costs. As well. Once you do find a match, though, they have to then turn to building a relationship with that birth mother and trying to connect with her and build trust. And then you begin the legal process. And this couple is they're waiting sort of on pins and needles for this baby to come, and they don't want the birth mother to change her mind or to pick a different family. It's scary and it's emotional, and that process they have to work through dealing with whatever the situation might be with the birth father and getting his consent or addressing the rights that he may have. All of that goes on during this period up until the baby's born, and then you're just waiting from the couple perspective, you're just waiting for that moment at the hospital when the time has passed and it's appropriate and the birth mother wants to sign her paperwork. And that's the time that the relief comes to the couple, because she signs her consent to the adoption and the legal custody changes and transfers to them. And they can finally breathe a sigh of relief that this is actually going to happen. And then they have to wait 6 months to finish the court process. And they have to get the approval of the judge, and they get to go to the court and celebrate at the end and make it final. It's really not over until that happens. But a lot of the stress and from the couple's side comes after the parents have signed the consent to the adoption.
Derek Williams is a well-respected adoption attorney here in the Salt Lake County area. We're talking to him about how to go about adopting a child the right way. Of course, we've had this big case unfolding here where this individual out of Arizona has been accused of running a baby mill and selling babies illegally here in the state in Utah, of Utah and across the country. He charged, according to what I've read, $10,000 after the baby was born, but $25,000 up front. Is that the usual going rate for adopting a baby? And if not, what is?
That's a range, an appropriate, well, that's a the market range, I'll say, for agency adoptions. Some charge a little bit less than that. Some charge a little bit more. The difference in variation comes in how much is there in expenses. Agencies have, they're higher in general, but they have overhead and staff and marketing costs, and most importantly, they have regulation and compliance costs. They're regulated by the state, and there's a lot of paperwork and audits and stuff that comes with that kind of regulation of agencies, and that results in higher costs. Private, what I call private or independent adoptions, can be a lot less. And the biggest factor, frankly, is how you find your connection and your birth mother and your baby. If you find it through a family friend or a distant cousin or online or something, and you make that connection yourself, then they can do it for a lot less. I do many adoptions for under $10,000, but some couples can't find that connection. And so they turn to online facilitators or advertisers, and they pay people a lot of money to help them find that baby. And so they could, in a private adoption, be up in that range as well. It all just depends on each specific case.
And all along that way, as you painted that picture, finding the parent or finding the birth mother, creating that connection. Sometimes there's a financial element in addition, it sounds like, where you can help care for the birth mother. At any point, it sounds like the birth mother can just change their mind. Where does that leave the adoptive parents?
It's a great question and a conversation I have with every single one of my clients. They are taking on that risk of money that they pay in support on behalf of the birth mother, or that none of that, there's no legal contract with a birth mother. There's no binding law that says she would have to repay that. And so there is a big financial risk that these couples take. I want to make one quick point, though. It came up with the Attorney General, and it's come up over the last couple of days. It's really important to remember, and I think you brought it up, one of you brought it up yesterday when we talked, the law does allow for the support of a birth mother legitimately, and payment of costs and expenses that relate to the adoption on behalf of the birth mother is a very different question and conversation than paying a birth mother to induce her to give the baby to you. Very, very different questions. And the story in the news of Mr. Peterson, he was paying these women to do it, and that's illegal, and that's baby selling and all that. But the vast majority of adoptions, if they're handled ethically, it is perfectly appropriate to pay certain legal types of expenses for and on behalf of the mother that are related to the pregnancy and the adoption. We don't want a birth mother to place a baby for adoption and have to pay all of these related costs and go to the hospital and then go home without a baby while this other couple leaves with her baby and is happy, and she gets to go home to medical bills or to lost work time because she was on bed rest or whatever else. And so it's something important to remember.
Derek Williams with Snow Christensen and Martineau, thank you so much for sharing your expertise again with us today. Next, 777 in Vegas, you'd call that a jackpot. But at the Salt Lake International Airport, authorities call that a recipe for disaster, or maybe even your arrest. Next, we'll get the skinny on why the TSA has nabbed 7 passengers in 7 days.
Dave and Dujanovic. Get all news all morning, then go in-depth about the news.
Senator Romney joining us
with Dave and Debbie.
Do you think the FDA, the CDC are going to take your concerns seriously?
I do believe they're taking it seriously.
News at 5, talk at 9 on KSL News Radio, Utah's news station.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.